Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Planning Podcast Series on the UBS Conversations podcast channel. For today, we will spend some time spotlighting the 2025 Planning Guide. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome Todd Mayo, Jacqueline Denton, as well as Chelsea Rubio, all authors of the 2025 Planning Guide, joining us for today's conversation. Some background on our guests, Todd, Jacqueline, and Chelsea are members of the Advanced Planning Group here at UBS. The team helps ultra-high net worth families and individuals with estate planning, tax planning, family office structuring, and other planning issues and strategies. Todd is a senior wealth strategist based in Boston. Jacqueline is a senior wealth strategist based in Nashville. And Chelsea is an associate wealth strategist based in Washington, D.C. So with that, Todd, Jacqueline, and Chelsea, thank you for dropping by the podcast, spending some time with our listeners, our clients, to share with us some takeaways from the 2025 Planning Guide. I know there's a lot we want to cover, so let's dive right into it. Todd, beginning with you, can you provide us with a bit of background on the 2025 Planning Guide, exactly what advisors and clients can expect from this year's guide?
Sure, Dan, thank you. Yeah. So the Planning Guide is an annual publication that the Advanced Planning Group puts out. As you said, Jacqueline, Chelsea, and I are the authors of that. But in all fairness, it really is a reflection of the work and the contributions by all the members of our team. We've got just such a wonderful group of talented individuals that help our clients with planning issues, as you described. The guide itself is a resource. It's a reference. It covers income tax issues, estate and gift tax issues, and it's really meant to be something that folks can pick up when they have a question and help find an answer. It's just one part of a broader library of materials that we have within the Advanced Plan Group. We have over 100 publications, white papers, and we put out alerts during the year. And our guide, oftentimes what we'll do in the guide is provide an overview of a particular subject and then provide the reference to where clients and others can find more in-depth coverage of these themes and issues in other of our materials. You know, and all the work that we do, and we're not providing any tax or legal advice, we're really here to help educate our clients, help inform them, help them to make better decisions. And just help them to realize their wishes and objectives in their planning.
Well, Todd, thank you for that background. As you pointed out, the guide sounds like it's very detailed, provides a ton of planning ideas for clients. I know we have a limited amount of time today, so Jacqueline, Chelsea, it would be great to hear from you both, if you don't mind providing maybe one or two top planning ideas from the guide. Jacqueline, we'll start with you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dan. To me, I think the focus for 2025 will continue to be the use of the increased lifetime exemption through gifting. This exemption amount is currently $13.99 million per person, and this is the amount that an individual can give away either during their lifetime or at death without being subject to gift or estate taxes. That $13.99 million figure that we have now is a result of a temporary doubling of the estate tax exemption from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which were tax cuts passed by President Trump during his first administration. Those are scheduled to sunset or go away after the end of this year. So that $13.99 million figure that we have now will revert back to the original $5 million exemption and then indexed for inflation. So we don't know exactly what that will be, but roughly, let's say, $7 million per person. So a big focus for this year is that clients and advisors are really going to be watching any tax legislation that may be coming through the pipeline as it's introduced to see if those temporary tax cuts will eventually be extended. Because if it's not extended, then clients will have a limited opportunity for the rest of this year to be able to take advantage of that increased exemption. So in addition to that, clients can also take advantage of an annual gift tax exclusion of $19,000 per person. And that's unlimited and can give to any person. For couples that are married, they can also elect gift splitting, so they can give $38,000 per person per year instead of the $19,000. And just a good reminder to take advantage of that. It doesn't use any part of their exemption and can really make an impact on estate taxes that they may have. In addition to that, they can also make unlimited gifts to educational institutions and medical providers. So those amounts are unlimited as long as those payments are made directly to providers.
Well, thank you, Jacqueline, for sharing those ideas and considerations. Chelsea, what would you like to share today with our listeners?
Hey, Ann, sure. So one of the ways that you can actually utilize that increased lifetime exemption amount that Jackie was just talking about is through what we call SLATs. And this wouldn't be a true estate planning discussion without some type of acronym of a trust, right? So I'm here to talk about SLATs, and that stands for a Spousal Lifetime Access Trust. And a SLAT is merely an irrevocable trust for the benefit of a spouse, but SLATs can and oftentimes also include descendants as beneficiaries. And the whole idea with SLATs is that the settlor, or really the person who creates the trust, gives up control of the assets following the gift to the trust, and that settlor indirectly can access those assets through his or her spouse who is named as the beneficiary of the trust. And SLATs are a very popular estate planning tool currently, but they should be used with caution of the risks. And most importantly, there's risk of losing that indirect access to the SLAT assets, either due to the spouse's death, the spouse who's a beneficiary of the trust, or in the event of divorce from the spouse. That said, there are approaches to address these risks, which you can learn more about in our group's article on SLATs. And additionally, if spouses are thinking of creating SLATs for each other's benefit, the couple should be wary of what's called a reciprocal trust doctrine to ensure that the trust agreements are substantially different enough to avoid inclusion of those trust assets in their taxable estates at death. Another benefit to SLATs is that because the spouse is a discretionary income beneficiary, a SLAT is considered what we call a quote-unquote grantor trust for income tax purposes. And this essentially means the settlor is treated as the owner of the trust income and principal and will report all incomes or deductions arising from the trust on the grantor's personal income tax return. And the benefit of this is that the grantor will pay the income tax liability of the trust, essentially making it an additional gift by depleting the grantor's personal assets while preserving the SLAT assets. And one last thing to note, just if a client has an existing SLAT, they may wish to top off the remaining lifetime gift tax exemption amount to that SLAT to take advantage of the increased exemption this year while it's still available. Pretty easy. Another planning technique worth discussing can actually be made in conjunction with a SLAT or really any other trust. For business owners who may wish to gift their interest in a limited partnership or limited liability company, and they can structure the gift to take advantage of valuation discounts to reduce the value of the gift made to that trust. The most popular discounts are lack of control. That allows for a reduction in value because the interest is arguably worth less since the owner doesn't have the right to make certain decisions regarding the entity. The other popular discount is for lack of marketability. That allows for a reduction in value because the owner may not be able to find a willing buyer due to restrictions on transferability of the interest. That said, valuation discounts have been highly scrutinized in past years by the IRS, but there is technically no law prohibiting them. So if going that route and taking a valuation discount on a transfer of LP or LLC interest to a trust, it's vital, like absolutely vital, to obtain a thorough appraisal prepared by a qualified appraiser. And each of these have rules, all part of the regs, and should be followed very carefully. In addition, there should be a legitimate and significant non-tax purpose for creation of the entity, whether that's for continuing the family's investment management philosophy, protecting family assets from divorce, preserving family legacy assets, et cetera. And lastly, the gift of the SLAT must be a bona fide sale for adequate and full consideration.
With that, Chelsea, Jacqueline, and Todd, thank you all for dropping by UBS Conversations, spending some time today with our listeners, our clients. A lot of great takeaways here, very thought-provoking, and do, of course, encourage our clients listening in to have a follow-up conversation with your UBS financial advisor. Your advisor can also provide you with a direct copy of the 2025 planning Planning Guide from the Advanced Planning Group, which, of course, we have been making reference to during today's conversation. Though, Todd, Jacqueline, and Chelsea, thank you again for your time and insights today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.